And Milwaukee and the Bucks, they were dealing with this for the longest time, right? Very good team. Constantly knocking on the door. Everything fell in place this year. And now they're great. Now they're NBA champions. And what Giannis just pulled off is one of the great achievements we've seen in NBA history, coming off a significant knee injury, which I think makes him even more likable than avoiding the super team or leaving to chase a championship. The fact that he did something that a lot of players in this age do not necessarily do, played through injury and did so at the level he did. I love seeing it. Here is Freddie Coleman from ESPN Radio. He's been on the show a bunch of times in the past. We love having him on. Perfect day for Freddie to come on, considering what's going on in the NBA, the NFL, among other spots. And he joins us again back on Overdrive. What's happening, Freddie?
I'm good. I got a question for you guys, and I love what you guys had to say about what the Toronto Maple Leafs are trying to do, that they are good and having a chance to be great, what Milwaukee Bucks are able to do. How much pressure does it put on the Toronto Maple Leafs now that the Bucks broke a 50-year streak of not winning a championship?
Well, that's a good point. Those records come up all the time. The Leafs, I believe a couple of weeks ago, established the longest drought in NHL history. The Rangers had owned it, going from 1940 to 1994.
54 years.
The Leafs are now like 54 years and 3 months or whatever the hell it is. And they hold that title. So, yeah, with the Bucks going down, the Cubs went down in 16.
Yeah.
It's not good, man. It's not good. There is pressure.
And the reason I bring that up, because I think it really crystallizes, gentlemen, how hard it is not just to win a championship, but even a playoff series. And so many things have to go your way. And especially in the drive for a Stanley Cup, you have a hot goalie like the Montreal Canadiens did, getting all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals, or the puck bounced the wrong way, or whatever that is. You have a key injury that you may not be able to overcome. So many variables go into either winning a championship or not winning a championship. And you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, where they lose Giannis Antetokounmpo in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals. They don't have him for Game 5 and Game 6, and people are thinking that's not going to work out for them. They win without him. Then they come back. He comes back for Game 1. We don't know what kind of Giannis we're going to see. And then he has a historic performance in the NBA Finals in the 6 games, breaking that 50-year losing streak in terms of winning a championship. So it really crystallizes that people put pressure on teams, and why haven't you done it? It is not that easy to win a playoff series, much less winning playoff series, and then a championship series.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, it's not sexy to talk about, and there's no depth to it. But a lot of it can just be luck. You know, a lot of it is luck, and the luck of the draw sometimes, like who you play that particular year.
Sure.
You know, as opposed to running into a team that maybe you just don't stack up that well against. And, you know, Giannis, you mentioned the injury. I remember saying before the series, if he was going to play and if he was only going to be at 70%, 75%, I did not picture a scenario where Milwaukee could win. And I don't know how he physically felt. He may have physically felt like 70 or 75%, but he played like 100%. Like, going off for 50 last night, how many times he had 40, 15, and 5. This guy put together a 6-game run that is tough to match. I mean, there have been guys who have done it over the history of the NBA, but you add the injury, the uncertainty, like you just pointed out, man, what a performance and what a mic drop for Giannis.
Yeah, you have to put him through an X-ray machine, because I want to find if he's human. I want to find if he has bones or if he has blood or if he has skin, because the way he was able to play, and so much sometimes, gentlemen, it's not so much how you play, but it's how you look. He had that look on his face in that game saying, I don't care what has to happen tonight. I'm not letting us lose this game. We are not going to go back to Phoenix and play a game 7. And even when Drew Holiday and also Chris Middleton were not playing well, Giannis was like, don't worry about it. You guys have my back in game 5 and game 6 when I wasn't there. I got your back until you guys get right and ready. And defensively, those guys were still really good for the Milwaukee Bucks. But certain games, guys, you know this. You look at a play and you say to yourself, yep, whatever you think is going to happen, it ain't happening tonight, because that guy's not having it. And it reminded me so much of Mark Messier back in game 6 of the Rangers in 1994. They're down 3-2. He called this shot. He had Messier face. He scored a hat trick. There's a game 7 and one of the all-time great 7s in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Giannis had that similar look to say, no matter what Phoenix does on the other side, I'm not going to let my team go down, and you're not going to beat me. And he was just taking guys' souls away from them. He was taking the manhood away from DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
I felt so sorry for that young man, because he was trying everything possible, and nothing that he came up with was going to be a problem for Giannis. Sometimes you just have a dude that is not having it, and it's going to be his night. And that was the case with Giannis in Game 6 last night, putting up that 50-piece on the Phoenix Suns.
Freddie, you talk about a perfect night. Which of these is the least likely of these four things? 50 points, 14 rebounds, 5 blocks, or 17 of 19 from the free throw line?
It's definitely the 17 or 19 from the free throw line, because at times Giannis looked like Shaquille O'Neal, and last night he got in touch with inner Steph Curry, knocking down free throws. And it wasn't like he was getting the bounce on the rim. The majority of those free throws, guys, were clean through the net, clean through the net, clean through the net. He looked so confident going to the free throw line, and you knew things were going to be rough for Phoenix. Not so much the free throw shooting, but he was actually 1-3 from the 3-point line. When he made 1 3-pointer, and the place almost blew the roof off that place, I said, man, it is not your night. When he's taking 1-3, feeling confident to knock that down, then he did not shoot another three from that standpoint. It was a perfect storm. You're exactly right. Everything you wanted to go right for Giannis and lead his team did. He did with defense. He did with offense. He did with the mentality. He did with the attitude and everything else. And my favorite moment was when he sat down, had the championship hat on, and you could tell all those emotions, because he even said in the press conference that 7.5 years ago, my mother was looking for us. We didn't know where our next meal was going to come from. She was selling on the street in terms of goods on the street so we could eat. And 7.5 years later, I'm at the top of the world as an NBA champion. I wonder how much of all that flooded through him sitting there before he had a chance to go out there and get that MVP trophy and that championship trophy, finally being the champion and staying in Milwaukee and resisting overtures and also language saying that he should go somewhere else to win a championship.
Well, let's play that clip after the game where Giannis, you know, was asked about the achievement, what it means to him to, you know, fulfill the dream in Milwaukee, fulfill the journey in Milwaukee. And he didn't name names, but man, he named names last night. He was naming names post game. Let's hear from Giannis about winning in Milwaukee.
Easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way to just do it. And we did it.
If you're LeBron James and Kevin Durant, how do you respond to that?
You don't respond to it, because here's the deal. If Milwaukee did not do what they were supposed to do, when Giannis said, I want to win a championship here, I wonder if we're having that same conversation. And, gentlemen, it was something we brought up last night, because it's very easy to say he can stay in Milwaukee, but the Milwaukee Bucks made it possible for him not to have to go anywhere because Chris Middleton increased his game. They bring in Drew Holiday and swing a trade for him to add another piece to that. They get Brooke Lopez. They get Bobby Portis. They were able to make sure that Giannis was not going to be a one-man gang trying to make this work in Milwaukee. And I've never faulted guys for going to form a super team. I call it the AAU-ization when it comes to that in the NBA, and you're starting to see that in other sports as well. So I'm not blaming guys who want to increase their situation, because plenty of times we've seen guys want to leave a situation that they believe they can't win a championship and they don't trust the organization is going to do that. Now, certain situations are different. Kevin Durant leaving Oklahoma City to go to Golden State, then the Brooklyn Nets. He's searching for whatever that is, and I hope he finds it. And LeBron, he was a mercenary. Let's call it as it is, going from Cleveland to Miami, then back to Cleveland, and now to the Los Angeles Lakers. But it does depend on your situation and the trust you have in your organization. If you believe your organization cannot put the right pieces around you to make that work, then you are going to look to go somewhere else. Giannis is a human being, but he trusted the Bucks were going to do right by him, and they validated that trust. They validated his trust. But if they had not done that, and let's be honest, guys, this could be a whole different conversation if Kevin Durant's feet was a size 17 and not a size 18 when he hit that three-point shot that was turned out to be a two-point shot because his left foot was on the line. If that happens, then there's no way that Giannis, of course, would get in the NBA Finals or even the Eastern Conference Finals. They're finding a new head coach because Mike Budenholzer is not going to survive that. And it just goes to show you guys, you mentioned it earlier, how much luck can be involved. And then you get to that point and you deliver. So situations can dictate if a person feels really confident about staying with this team and trying to win a championship there, or if he looks at his organization and says, I don't think they got the stones to do that. I better keep my eyes and look for somewhere else.
Well, you look at the last three NBA champions, and I don't know if I would classify the Lakers as a super team. They had two all-time great players. You know, LeBron playing at his height. He had Anthony Davis healthy. You know, two of the five best players in the world. And then a pretty good supporting cast, but not a big three. There wasn't a third guy that would fit that bill. You look at 2 years ago with the Raptors, it was Kawhi and then a bunch of very good players with Lowry and Van Vliet had made it, Siakam had made it, Ibaka, Gasol, etc., but not a super team. And now you got Milwaukee, who, you know, Giannis is saying we're not a super team, although, you know, like Middleton, like you said, elevated. His stats in the finals were off the charts. Holiday got better as the series went on, a lot better as the series went on, a lot better as the playoffs went on. But can the rest of the league take anything from this when it comes to trying to build a championship-worthy team that maybe you don't need to do what Brooklyn is currently doing?
Oh, there's no doubt about that, because they even go back a little further before Kevin Durant joined Golden State. The Golden State Warriors were a super team, and they won the championship. They had Steph Curry, they had Klay Thompson, and a bunch of guys that played above their heads. David Lee, for example, Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green. So your point is definitely valid. When the more you try to put a super team together, it's not guaranteeing anything except that this is the team you're going to have. The Miami Heat had a super team with those three guys and LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. But they went 2-for-2 in the NBA Finals. Well, the first year they lost to the Dallas Mavericks, then went back-to-back, and then they lost to the San Antonio Spurs. You can build a team. The super team is not the end-all, the be-all to have a championship team. But if you put the right pieces together and the players enjoy playing with each other, then you can make that work. Now, in Brooklyn, it went well until they got injured. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, they wanted to play together. They were able to do that until injuries got in the way. So we'll see what that's going to manifest like next year when they have an 82-game season, and can they be able to make that work? But if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, whatever whispers about your organization and about Giannis and your coach, you completely wipe them away, because Giannis showed that he could be like that on that big stage and that he could lift his basketball team, that Mike Budenholzer can make the right kind of adjustments. You can put a super team together all you want, but if you don't produce, if you don't make plays, then all of a sudden people are looking at you and say, you tried to organize a team like this and it still didn't work, so what are you going to do now?
Well, it's over now. We're into the off season, and it's going to be a fun one. You know it is every year, right, Freddie? I mean, the NBA, this is when they really get started, man. This is when the entertainment really starts to kick up. But at the same time, the NFL, we're in camp. You got Ben Roethlisberger pictures going viral. I guess he's looking good. He's looking thin. We'll see what that means.
We need that diet. That's looking good.
Right. And yet, if you're in Milwaukee today, you're celebrating, you're on cloud nine, and then at some point Aaron Rodgers is going to smack you in the face and say, let's not forget about this football team you love.
Yeah, don't forget, right, he's part owner of the Bucks too.
Yeah, well, he was pretty happy last night, as he should be. But where do you see this one going, Freddie? Because I'm getting more and more nervous if I'm in Green Bay that this guy is principled enough, stubborn enough, bitter enough that he actually may just not play at all this year.
Well, see, I've been on the line that I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to play one more year for Green Bay, because he doesn't give a you-know-what about the general manager, Brian Gutekunst, and also the president, Mark Murphy. But he does care about the players in that locker room and the coach, Matt LaFleur. That's been my selling point when I think Aaron Rodgers is going to play one more year, and then next year he's going to say, you're going to have to find a way to trade me because I'm not going to play one more year. He knows how close this team is to getting out of the NFC and get the Super Bowl championship. To bring memory to everybody's memory, they host the NFC championship game, and had Aaron Rodgers made a play or two, they could have been in the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's going to go beyond that, where he's going to say, you know, one more year with this group, we know we got the team, we got the squad that can make a difference and get to the Super Bowl. I'll do that with them and for them. But the other two guys I mentioned, he could care less about them. But once this season is over, he's going to force his way out of Green Bay, and they're going to have no choice but to trade him, because you can't keep him there, and he's not going to go through this again and set out a season. He is near not the sunset of his career, but he clearly knows you take a year away from you at this point right now just on principle with a team that can win a Super Bowl, that's not going to work out for Aaron Rodgers. He's too competitive of a guy. But the fact that report came out that he refused an extension for 2 years to be the highest paid player in the NFL just to do that, that told me all I need to know, that after 2021, he's going to go somewhere else, and the Green Bay Packers are going to wind up accommodating him when it's all said and done.
All right, Freddie, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate you doing this. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Sounds good, guys. You guys have a great weekend, and talk to you soon.
Yep, you too. There's Freddie Coleman of ESPN and ESPN Radio. And I like the idea of that. I mean, I can understand why you don't sign the extension if you're determined of getting out there. Like, you don't care about years 3, 4, and 5 because you don't want to be there anymore, but you know you can't go anywhere this year. Then maybe you play it out. The question will become, is the damage done? You know, is he going to be so bitter, and is he going to be an issue in the room? Is he going to have to answer for it every single day?
The point that he's staying for this year and not walking, he is supporting his guys. I mean, that's the point that Freddie's making, is, you know, he is being a team guy by doing that. And
yeah.
Then he's going to look after Aaron Rodgers after that.
Right. Is he gambling at all, though? What if he takes a big step back this year? What if he doesn't play? So what if he suffers a big injury?
Yeah, there's always going to be a market for him. You know that.
Yeah, like, why not take the contract and then still demand out? Although maybe that hurts your chances of being moved, right? Like if you have a big contract hanging around
your neck.
That
arguably limits where you're going to go.
Yeah, and that might be what it is. Maybe this is what it's always been about. Like he's made so much money, he's going to make money this year and make money wherever he goes next.
And no matter what happens this year, he's still got it next. He does.
Yes. Even if he comes back to the means a little. I mean, he just won the MVP. Had arguably the best season of his career, close to it. I'm not expecting him to double down on that, but he's still going to be a guy who's going to throw for 4,500 yards and 40 touchdowns and, you know, 10 picks. Like, he's going to have a great year.
Yeah, it's the belief in his team, too.
And he's got a very good team around him. Yep, for sure. I'm all for that, and I would love for it to come out publicly almost before it all happens.
And what about going out on top? What if he wins?
Play one more year, try to win a Super Bowl, and then I'm out.
And just walk and smile.
That gives the Packers a full year here to prepare for that as well. Like, plan for it. Who's your next quarterback? What is the transition?
They know that, don't they?
Well, if Jordan Love could play, I mean, I know that was their plan.
Small variable.
That seems like it's kind of an important detail. Right?
I thought that was a given.
Yeah. Well, it should be in the first round.
When you drafted him, it was a given, wasn't it?
That was their plan, for sure. And we'll give him one more year. I think that can go a long way. Give him 2 years to sit and watch Aaron Rodgers and then say, put up or shut up, man. Sink or swim. Let's see what's up.
Aaron Rodgers sat and watched when he started.
Yep. For 4 years, I believe it was, with Brett Favre.